Exodus 51. He said it's an attempt at common sense. Basically, we are looking at God's wisdom for areas of our lives that typically are not, I don't want to say they are not biblical. Areas of our lives where it looks like this one is not in the Bible. Someone asked me some time ago that the smoking of cigarettes, is it in the Bible? Does the Bible? And I have to answer that question because you will not find cigarettes in the Bible. So there are questions like that. Amen. And we need God's wisdom for them. So we began to look at Exodus 1. Really. Because today is the last one, I'll give you some extra doses. Amen. I promise. Exodus 1 verse 6. Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. So no one lives forever. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly and multiplied, waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. So there arose a new king over Egypt. By now you should be able to quote all these verses as memory verse. There arose a new king over Egypt that did not know Joseph. And I said, did not know Joseph does not mean he has never heard of Joseph. Does not know Joseph means he does not regard Joseph. He doesn't really care. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more and they are mightier than us. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that when there is now a war, they will side with our enemies. Verse 11. So he set tax masters over them to afflict them with burdens, and they built treasure cities for Pharaoh, Pithom and Ramses. Amen. And you begin to look at it and wonder, how did they get here? How did Israel get here to a place where they are more and they are mightier, but they are the slaves? And we said, the moment you don't know who you are, you will take anything. See, the moment you don't know what God has in plan for you, you will compromise for anything. They are mightier. Pharaoh said they are mightier. God said they are mighty. And the children of Israel lived like slaves. You will not live like a slave.
Amen.
But it happens. If you go through this story, how many of them came to Egypt? They came to Egypt for rice, Abi. Rice, ewa, agbado. You got Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46. Verse 27. That's how I'm talking, verse 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, beside Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. 66 will be 60, right? Huh? So 66 will be 66. And the sons of Joseph that were born in Egypt were 2 souls. That's 68. And all the souls of the house of Jacob were 70. So that's 70 people. Right? So 70 people came to a strange land, a new place. How many left? 70 people came. Then Exodus 1 says, they grew more. Abi? And mighty. So how many left Egypt? Exodus 12. So if you have been following the Bible reading plan for the year, you must have... All these stories should be familiar, that's what I'm saying. Exodus 12, verse 37. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramses, remember Ramses, to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men. He didn't count the children. A mixed multitude also went up with them. So, he said just the men alone were 600,000, and they had multiple wives. And he didn't count the children. 70 people came. Are you getting it? 70 people came to a place, and let's just say 600,000 were crying to God for deliverance. Where were they going to? Answer me now. You don't know where they are going to. Where? Canaan. What is Canaan? The promised land. Abi? Who promised them? Was it Moses? Did Joseph know about the promised land? Hey. Did Joseph know about the promised land? I said, no, sir. Does Joseph know about the promised land? Yes, he did. Genesis 47. Let me show you. I'm trying to look for the verse. So Joseph actually told them that take my bone away from Genesis 50. He said, I'm looking for you too. Yeah. Genesis 50 verse 25. And Joseph took a note of the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you. You must carry my bones from this place. So Joseph died 110 years old and they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Look at verse 24. It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, if I die, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So they all knew about the promised land. Right? Come on. How many years were they in Egypt? From Jacob to when they left. How many years? 400. And everybody knew about the land. So why didn't they go? Why didn't they leave? So if you knew about a land that God promised you, and you still keep on building for Pharaoh, whose fault is that? And sometimes, the way God is going to deal with such kind of people, you know, that's why I said, don't be, if there's an example you should not be like, is Israel. Till today, self. Till yesterday. Amen. If you follow Global News, I don't know. The moment I heard that there was fight, I said, is Israel there? I said, yes. I said, they will be there. Like Goro. Amen. Again, Ishmael's head is up. Amen. He will not leave you. Ah. Why say amen? I say Ishmael will not leave you. Say amen. Why are you not in the retreat? Ishmael's head is up again. And it makes you wonder. I'm looking at it from a common sense perspective. If my great-great-great-grandfather told my great-great-great-grandfather, and my great-great-grandfather told my great-grandfather, and my great-grandfather told my grandfather, and my grandfather told my father, and my father has told me, God has given us a place. I should be asking, so why are we here? And sometimes God's intervention is that he will raise a Pharaoh that will beat you out. It will look like persecution. It will look like torture. But it's God's intervention. Not every inconvenience is aimed to bring you down. Some inconveniences in your life is to get you out of Egypt to Canaan. Are you getting me? Not every inconvenience. God had to raise for Hannah. Anna was the first wife, in case you think she was second wife. She was the first. She didn't have a child. So the husband, Elkanah, went to what? Marry Peniah. You know the story, Abby? And Peniah kept mocking Anna. The wicked person in that story is not Peniah. It's Elkanah, the husband. He will keep going to Anna and say, why are you crying? Am I not worth more than 10 sons? Oga, you are not. What he wants to do for Anna is, why are you not just comfortable in Egypt? He took Peniah for Anna to go to Shiloh and go and cry to God. So God can raise Pharaohs and Peniahs. So if your name starts from P, Priscilla, Pistis. God can use you as punishment. P. Are you getting what I'm saying? The ability to take God at his word and say, if God has said this about me, let me pursue it. That is faith. And so, Israel grew mightier. They were more in numbers, but they were the slaves. How can you be the bigger one? The more populous one, and you are the slave. It's the same thing we have in Africa today. Amen. Apart from Asia, I think Africa is the largest continent. And even that one that they are seeing in Asia, they've not entered some place in Africa. When you are entering some place, say, hey! Census no get here. Hallelujah. How can you be more and you're the servant? And that's the way some of us undo our own private lives too. We pick the comfort of mediocrity. And God can give you that break from that. And I pray that God will give you that break from that. Yes, because sometimes at some point he has to raise a Pharaoh. So that you can get out of Egypt to Canaan. You must stop shrinking yourself. A place meant for 70 people and 600 plus, 300,000 plus people were living there. They turned a provision to ghetto. 600,000 people were living in a place for 70 people. Because when Pharaoh gave them the place, he was looking at the numbers now and said, okay, just take it. And they now call it Goshen. They say, it's a place of praying with milk and honey. If it was praying with milk and honey, why are you praying to God to deliver you? It's a lie. Amen. What I say? It's a lie. You see, by calling Goshen, God's comfort place, all of that, is to absolve themselves of responsibility of why they've not moved out. And we do that too as Christians. Because you've not followed what God has said. You begin to say, okay, actually what I'm doing is I'm waiting for the perfect moments. The Kairos, the irony. If Goshen was Goshen, the way they describe it, they won't pray to God that they are in pain, they are in tears. I've told people, you can never build your life on your prayer point and say, God, give me Goshen. Goshen, in Goshen, you're a slave. God's plan was not Goshen. God's plan is Canaan. You go to Egypt, you take your rice, and you get out. And I told you, I said, what ought to be a visit must not become a stay. There are people that God will bring across your life. It's not your spouse. Stop asking yourself, is he the one? Is he the one? It's not the one. You've asked, is he the one for like 40 people? Why not be led by God's Spirit? I'm led.
Amen.
Are you? I am. If you're led, you'll not be asking stupid questions. Is he the one? Is he the two? So God promised them a land, but they could not move out because they were not bold enough. So I ask again, are you bold? So firstly, you need to find out God's plan for your life. Now, when we say that, it sounds cliche. It sounds church thing to say, find out God's plan for your life. But the truth is, you actually have to find out, and I'm going to say it again from premarital perspective, those who want to get married soon. I'm going to say it from those who are married too. I'll try. Amen. Amen. Me too, I just got married last week, so I cannot say much. You get. Find out God's plan for your life. You don't know much. You don't even know yourself like that. Because some of you, if you knew yourself, you will not take that course that they gave you. Marine science, and I'm saying marine science because I know those ones, they will forgive me. Amen. They will forgive me, so let's go. Because if I mention some courses, I remember I went to preach in one church and I mentioned range pastoral management. Someone from UNAB, I believe, something came to me and said, but sir, it's a good course. I said, no, I just give an example. I'm not saying that you study. Sorry. But if you actually know the best for yourself, there are some decisions you know I've taken in life. The other day, myself and my wife were driving. Sorry, let me use this story. We're driving. In fact, the way God did it, I said, there's no way I'm not going to use this illustration. So we're going somewhere. And my full light stopped working. It was at night. So just the night light, the normal. So the full light, I could not see the road very well. Fortunately for us, a car came behind and the light was so bright. So I was using his own light to drive. Then we got to the roundabout, we turned the corner, and the car turned. I said, see God's provision. As I cannot see, he has given me pillar of fire by night. Then we exited the road into another road, and the car followed. He said, well, I actually thought he was not going to follow. I said, what am I not going to use to see? And he followed again. Then I said, thank God, at least we still use this. And I say, why are we thanking God? What is it, an arm robber? It's what looked like a good thing could suddenly be why you are thanking God. Imagine if you knew that was an arm robber. We used to say, thank God he followed us. Because you even be running without that night light that you don't have. So, in that moment I knew, so I don't even know the best for myself. It was not an arm robber. Amen. You overtook us. Hallelujah. So it just shows you in a split moment. I thought this is for good. And God said, what if it's an arm robber? We used to say it's good. And I said, it's true. I don't know if it's an arm robber. And the way the guy was running, it could be an arm robber. Hallelujah. So you don't even know the best for yourself. Find out God's plan. And sometimes they don't look convenient. You are in Egypt one day. Eating melon, cucumber. Huh? What else? Garlic. You like garlic? You always mention that garlic to me. They were eating all of that. Then the next day, God said, you're going to move out. Maybe sometimes we don't know what it looks like. They were in the wilderness. We don't even know people. They were the only ones. And that means sometimes they will sleep on sand. And the tendency is that they will say, in Egypt, I had bed. Like one brother like that someone went to bail from prison. And he was fighting the person. He said, why did you bail me? That guy, I want to come outside. Yeah, there's free food. There's free food. I had bed. Now, what do you want me to go and do with my life now? And so, sometimes you can feel for them. Because sometimes God's plan and God's leading can be uncomfortable. There's something in your head that thinks that every time God is leading you, everything will just be smooth. No. No. God was leading Jesus and he ended up on the cross. If God has told you that your own lead, as I'm leading you like this, you will not put a crown of thorns. You say, figurative, I said, no, not figurative, a real crown. It's after that thing, God. They will not nail you. Say one hand. Say no, two. And the leg. They will not spit on you. Say, are you sure I rebuke you, the devil? It's God's leading. Israel had God's leading and they didn't follow. I pray for you that you will see his plan for your life.
Amen.
You will not walk like a blind man.
Amen.
Because that's what a lot of people are doing. The reason why you're jumping from pillar to post, you don't know where the direction, which direction your life is going, is because you don't even know what God wants you to do. You can't be a Christian and not find out, God, what is my purpose? Tell me. He will tell you. He's called the Word of God. You can't call someone the Word and you say he's not talking. He's talking to you. And you can hear his voice.
Amen.
You don't like it. You can hear his voice. So, don't compromise because you feel you may not get there. They knew the promised land was for them. But yet, they kept staying. Years after years, century after century. Centuries is 100 years. Centuries after centuries. They kept staying in Egypt. There are people that feel, oh, because maybe my background, no, my parents are not that. I didn't really have education like that. One of the wealthiest men in Nigeria, all he has is a primary school certificate. Razak Okoya, Eleganza. He stopped at primary school. Some of you don't know. You can't say he's not educated. He's more educated than you. With that primary school certificate, he's more educated than you. Find out. Be brave to pursue what God has placed on your journey. Don't shrink yourself to Goshen. A lot of people who are comparable, there are even churches that are named Goshen. Some people have seen someone that named the child Goshen. How stupid must you be? Go and change it today. I'm playing, you know. You're not stupid. I'm Eremus, you. I'm saying you have not read the story. The story is Goshen. They will finish doing bricklayer for Pharaoh. Then they will go to Goshen. And they will go and pray that God should deliver them. Goshen is not the place where you think it is. God did not promise Abraham Goshen. He promised him Canaan. Are you listening to me? So find out, God, what will you have me do? Then be bold to pursue. Get that skill. Sharpen that discipline. A lot of believers are not disciplined. Today you start a business, you are selling clothes. Next week, suddenly now you are selling wood. So I have a short plug now for wood. Next upper week, you understand, you are bringing pastries. You are doing cake already. Ibo don't talk about last week. You're already selling cake again. Before we know it, it's like if I'm cake, put in tiring, dweller. Amen. Be disciplined. Find one thing. Stay with it. Stay with things enough, long enough for them to succeed. Of course, there's a place of failure too. That something failed doesn't mean it will not work later. That something failed doesn't also mean that it will work later. Bro, find out God's plan for your life. Amen. You're not in church. Am I in the right church?
Yes, sir.
Don't be mediocre. Don't stop. Don't shrink yourself. Don't shrink yourself. Tell somebody, say, don't shrink yourself. You don't tell them. Are you afraid? Are you scared of them?
Yes,
say, don't settle for Goshen.
Say,
it's not that beautiful. It's not that beautiful. Hallelujah. One of the saddest stories in the Bible. It might not be sad to you, but to me it is. And I shared a bit of it, retreat 2024. When I was talking about Joshua, I don't even know the teaching, the pain of wasted possibilities. You go listen to it again. Let me tell you something you didn't know about Joshua, and you didn't read in that story. And sometimes it makes me cry. I mean, literally. The first time God told me about this, and I read about it, I began to wonder how many things God could have done through me that I never did. God told Joshua, that promised land, you are the one that will take them there. And he said, everywhere the sole of your feet will step. Abi, I will give to you, right? Then later we discover that Joshua did not take everything. You know what happened? Joshua received God's word and he stopped walking. They got into Canaan. and they stayed at the borders. They didn't conquer the entire land. That was why, if you listen to that sermon, later God now said, what about the Hittites? What about the Jebusites? Remember, how many remember the teaching? And God mentioned about 8 other places. He said, you have not conquered these places. You know what Joshua was doing? When they got to Canaan, just small land out of the Canaan, they started sharing property. Places they've not conquered. So you, Benjamin, you are the owner of that one. Don't worry, we'll get there. You are the owner of that one. You are the owner of that one. One of the places, one of the tribes that they refused to conquer were the Philistines. David would have needed not to fight Goliath if Joshua did what he was meant to do. A very sad story of God's abundant possibilities and man shrunk back. Sometimes we are too coward for God to do anything through us. Too coward. You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to move. You say, what will be, you're a coward. Nothing will be. If you're going to amount to anything, regardless of whether you pray in tongues or not, you have to take bold steps. You have to be courageous. You have to know who you are. Find out what God wants you to do and pursue it with violence. You know what violence is? I don't mean start beating people. I mean, be a destructive force with it. How can you know that there's a promised land and you are building Pitom every day? That means for every day you are building for Pharaoh, you are losing the land. Many people are where they are today because they will dare not step out of their comfort zone. They don't even know who they are. Like one small boy will come to you, be toasting you. You that if God tells you who you are, even Dangote, you will not settle for Dangote. I say, hey, Pastor, that one is not settling. I'm settled. If God tells you who you are going to sit down and say, nah, Bill Gates, nah, not you. Amen. He's one small boy. I cannot even, if he says, pray, just pray 5 minutes prayer. Say, our father, amen. That's what you want to go for. Keep building for Pharaoh. When you could be in Canaan. Your eyes are open in the name of the Lord Jesus. And God is telling you the same. Everywhere the sole of your feet can step. Even on Goliath. I'll give it to you. Save your future generations of some stress. If Jacob had followed God's leading, Moses would not be born in Egypt. I borrow in on Uri Kukun. Sorry, you know me of that. You are just adamant about being on one spot. That career path that you are on now, what have you done differently that can make you stand out from others? Or you think you want to pray your way to being at the top? It's not going to work. I'm your pastor and I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work. There is nobody, listen to me, who is in a position of influence in any career that got there by luck. Even the Nepo baby, you don't know what he knows. You might think, oh, he got there with nepotism, it's because his father is saying, go and find out the courses he has taken. Go and find out the schools he has gone to. You will know why it's easy for them to use nepotism to get him there. You're not taking the same courses, you're not going the same route, you want to speak in tongues to become the group managing director. I wish you well. That's not how it works. I was watching a pitch from startups who were pitching. They wanted to get investors. You say you are a developer. Then Pastor Bukumi Awoshika asked, said, so, show us the MVP. Developer does not know meaning of MVP. What are you now doing there? He said, can you expatiate? Sorry, I didn't get you, sir. You didn't get MVP. Mark Oleo, man, you're MVP. Career to move money. It's not a career. If you don't know that in your own career, you say you're an economist. They are telling you, okay, well, your operating expenditure, your capital expenditure, how do you, what's that? And you want to apply for accounting general. You are what, sir? Yakub, manage. Amen. If you do it like you want to die, you will not die. Because you will be in that position for long. Yakub, manage. Amen. Sort yourself. Some habits will ground you. They will not make you go anywhere. You have no respect. Every customer that comes, you are rude. And you say you are an entrepreneur. You are not entering anywhere. You are rude to everybody. At work, everybody knows you as the sassy lady. And you are speaking in tongues. To what end? Why are you speaking in tongues when you don't even know how to greet people? What does it cost you to say, good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Someone who is older than you. That's why I have an issue with Gen Z. I'm Gen Z myself. Amen. You know now. You guys know now. I'm 17 already. I told you last year I'll be 17. I'm 17. I'll be 18 next year. I'm Gen Z. It takes nothing away from your life to greet in whatever culture, where your culture greets. Greet people. See, there are people that are Christians. You will pray in tongues. You will pray to God. You will do it in VG. And they will never promote you. Because you are not doing the things those that they are promoting are doing. No. And they are not evil things. Things like greeting. Things like you see your boss coming from the car park, holding a bag, and you cannot go and help and carry. You say, that's not what I'm employed for. Oh, God, wakwembe. Yakub. You will stay. Your boss did birthday. Everybody bought him something. Only you. Why? Yeah, my salary is not even enough. You will know. It cannot be enough. That's what the salary will be. If you work in an organization that has a lot of staff, you must, I've said to those of you that are working, you must ensure that you are seen. Because it's easy to forget people. If someone employs 150 people and all of you are in that place, bro, they don't know your name. They know they have 35 people in that department, but they don't know you. You have to make them know you. Not by fighting. That means you'll be promoted to a customer. That's to make them know you. That means you do the extra. Every time they say, there's something has to work, we are all going to stay a bit late. You are always the first to grumble and complain. Ibo don't law. And it's not Wednesday. There is no service. So you just want to go home and watch Netflix. Some of you don't even need Netflix. You have your phone. Netflix, you're going to come and collect film from your phone. The number of phones, films you have on your laptop. If Netflix catch you, they will turn you to company. That's how you are building yourself. No, now. Rise above mediocrity. Don't condemn yourself to failure. And I had to, at some point, now say, you know what? Let me go to Shiloh. Ekana is deceiving you, Neo. If he says, am I not more than 10 sons to you? If I'm more than 10 sons, why you go marry Penaya? Amen. Why did you go and marry another woman? 10 sons, my foot. Find out God's leading for your life and pursue it. Are you getting what I'm saying? God's plan for our lives, grossly, is the same, right? To reach the world in His name, through His word, through His church. But in the final details, our journey differs. Some people are in corporate. Some people are going to be in business. Some people are going to be in engineering. Some people are going to be in trading. And it's not a bad thing. Not everybody will marry a rich man. And it's okay. Find out God's plan for your life. For those who are looking to get married, there are no specifications in God's word. All that can answer them is not in the Bible. Amen. Pastor, what do you mean? What I mean is be led by God. That's why a believer must know how to be led by the Spirit of God. You can go and get our teachings on that. I think we have over 10. Probably 15. I teach it every year, sometimes twice, on how to be led by the Spirit of God. Go and listen to those teachings. And you will see that God speaks to you every time. You are just concerned about other things. There are too much noises. There's no prayer for noises. There's too much noise. Amen. There's a lady like that married a brother. Because she was led. And she liked him. Let's put that. Amen. You must like the person you want to marry. Don't say, God led me, but me like him. Even when God arranged for Adam, God did not say, take Eve. No. God left him to say, I like her. This is the bone of my bone. This is the flesh of my flesh. Is it making sense? Huh? God don't say, oh yeah, now that's it too. No, Adam saw it and said, this is not dog. This is not fish. This one has sheep. This is the bone of my. So you must like what you are marrying. Not that you now wake up one day and say, this is a lepa I wanted. You know lepa? I wanted a slim lady. I wanted a fair lady. you get glaucoma before. You know, she say, nah, do and shine. You marry. Amen. Oh, I wanted a dark lady. I said, ah, you want a dark lady? You now went to Mr. Hope. Bro, marry does scatter now. So this particular lady, she has a very wealthy background. The parents are very wealthy, well traveled and all that. And God led her to marry someone who didn't have that much in the natural. Amen. I know it was evil. I know what you have in your mind. And the story now changed. The guy now had much. No. You know why? That's all they get much. He didn't have much. Why did God lead her that way? I don't know. I'm saying this so that when God leads you, you don't have some unnecessary expectations. I say, so God was leading you, I even thought you'd become a billionaire. No. There is hope, which is an expectation. Then there's living hope. Israel's hope was that Jesus would deliver them from the Roman government, the tyranny of the Roman government. The living hope is that Jesus will deliver them from sin. Sometimes what God wants to do through his leading is even from what you are expecting. Let me get what I just said now. They were expecting deliverance from the government. God said, wait to concern me. I want to deliver you from the real enemy, which is sin and death. So that God is leading me in a particular route does not mean, oh, he's going to flip the story now. You see that brother that is doing agency banking. Agency banking, POS. Now, one day we just turn, you just become $10. No, it's not necessary. I'm also not saying that God's leading is in suffering. Oh, you suffer. Oh, Yakub. So you look like you want to die. But you not die. Is that clear? No. God's leading is not in suffering. Are you get what I'm saying? God does not have a pattern. He looks at your life and he designs it. And I follow his design. I don't mess it up. Come on, I don't mess it up. Don't create unnecessary expectation in your marriage too. For those who are married. And also stop having unnecessary spec. Some of you that are not married, you have very unnecessary spec. Those of you that are married now, you know what I'm talking about, Abby. Your eyes clear at some point. You say, whoa. you have watched too much K-drama. Too much Korean movie. In this country, where do you want to see man that is air, cover his eyes, that now works like this? You think life comes with a music background? And everybody's falling. And leaves are falling. Oga, if anything fall on you, now slap as social D. You cannot be broke and say, I can't settle for a broke guy. He's your colleague. Why are you shaming your classmates? Why not try to step up your own finances? You can't use marriage to settle your finances. If that's your plan as a lady, you are not ready. You know, we say, can we talk, Abby? Are we talking? That's prostitution. Marriage is not meant to be used to settle. You are looking for a rich allergy, believer. By the way, I'm going to teach extensively later in the year on the biblical stand on Christian, Muslim, can they date, can they marry? Because it's easy to just say, only call you, can all of that. But we need to stay grounded in God's word. Because I can tell you Esther married King Xerxes, and he was not a believer. He was God's leader. So we'll look at all of that. Amen. So say, hey, Mutin, so no. You can't use marriage to settle scores. You can't use to take your family out of. I'm not saying if it happens, thank God. But that cannot be your plan. That cannot be your financial plan. I mean, you are writing a financial plan as I will get married. So if something happens to his finances, what happens to you? Is the reason why a guy can think that he can talk to you anyhow. Even before you get married. Because he knows that, oh, Nishin Bai. No matter how much he says, no matter what he says, you still come and beg. Because you don't even know where your next meal will come from. Amajiri. And you're a believer. You cannot bolden up and say, you know what, let me start something. Let me do something. Let me make something. Let me apply for this job. What kind of plan is that? To depend on a man for money.
If you are even one, you are depending on a man, depending on a woman. See, there's worse. Let me catch you. See, our father has money. My plan right now, to inherit their surname. Have a good plan for your life. Stop having unnecessary spec. What do you mean by you want someone with blue eyes? What do you mean? I mean, how can that be a spec? Blue eyes. You cannot look at purpose. You cannot don't say, oh, I need that is good. Purpose. Is everything purpose? Is it purpose that we eat? Ah. Bro, is it blue eyes you eat? That's why you have not married since. You are looking for a bad girl with a touch of Jesus. Speak in tongues, but can speak other things. Sings by the Spirit, but is a ratel. You are not ready. You are not ready. Find out God's plan and be ruthless to follow it. Are you with me? Check for your inner peace. When I'm with this person, is it peaceful? If it's not peaceful now that you're not married, because marriage has its own stress and strain. That's own stress and strain. People that love themselves, they fight. They quarrel. No. Quarrel is the senior brother of fight. When they're not fighting, they quarrel. Not to talk of someone that you never had peace with. Check your heart. Every Christian can have impressions by the Holy Ghost. Where God impresses. It doesn't mean that the person is bad though. This person is good, but not for me. You get what I'm saying? There's some of you I cannot marry. And you cannot marry me. I will be bad for you. You get it? You don't get it. Pastor, I will be a bad choice for you. So find out God's plan. Don't wait till you want to marry. That's what you're not saying. Ha! Dele or Uche. Dele or Uche. Dele or Uche. Then Gregory will just raise his head. Dele, Uche, or Gregory. Then Femi will not come and say, Femi, no! In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke. God will not say, it's Femi. For those of you who are married, there's no perfect spouse. None. It does not exist. Read my lips again. It does not exist. That thing you have in your head can only be found in movies. What do you mean that a man is awake, he's not sleep, he's watching your face? As how? Me on this room. He said, you know, when I wake up, I said, since when have you been awake? I just stayed awake to watch your face. All out there. It does not exist. No man has done it before. I'm serious. You don't do it before. If you are married, let me see your hand. You are married. Oh, hand up. Bro Pam, you did your 40th anniversary. He said, have you stayed awake and just say, I love your face. As how, where? Even if you are looking at my face, me, and I wake up and say, what do I do? It does not exist. You are not looking for that person. You are not saying your husband is not romantic. Because he has never put flower on the floor for you to step in. Ah, and the flower is a rose petals on the floor. I'm not saying your birthday, I'm not saying wedding anniversary. I mean, you are going to work in the morning. So I want someone that worships the ground I step on. Idolatry in here. I'm not saying you should marry someone who is not caring or who doesn't. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that expectation, that there's an unnecessary drama going on in your head. And you need to sort it. Amen. There's no perfect spouse. The only thing is you are now comparing your spouse to someone else. Because you were fine. You were fine with him. You were fine with her. Until you saw someone. Maybe you are one of your friends. And he's telling you, my wife just, in fact, it was my wife. I collected the loan. 15 million naira. So what do you mean? What do you mean? Your bank? He said, no. My wife just gave me 15 million naira for that business I was talking to you about. Then your own wife just messaged. I beg. Buy bread when you're coming. Buy bread when you're coming home. He said, oh God. You now get to start acting. You can't buy bread from your hand. You were fine until you started comparing. Hallelujah. Comparison is the thief of joy. Bible says those who compare themselves to themselves are not wise. It's lack of wisdom when you start comparing your spouse to someone else. There's no perfect man. There's no perfect woman. As you're looking at me like this, I'm not perfect at all. Some of you cannot even, you cannot deal with me, oh. God saw me like this and he said, this is the person that fits you. Amen. Can you clap for my wife, please? That's the truth. See, look at pastor. See the way pastor always care for people. Oga, it's because if you are my wife and you are done cooking, I say, that's not what I feel like eating. You know. And I go and buy food. Go pay you. I'm not perfect. I'm not even close to it. She's even closer to perfect than me. I far. In case you have been comparing your husband to me, you're not even better. Amen. I'm not letting you know now. Go and praise your husband. Say you are better than pastor. Stop comparing your spouse. Hey, you want to visit your friend. You say, he and the wife sat on his lap and they were watching a movie. You can't sit on my lap. Oh, now. After 5 minutes, I'm saying, okay. I shift and I sit down. I'm not used to it. Amen. You know, some of you dated on campus. Maybe it was easier for you. People have been sitting on your lap at a love garden in like for long. So people have been, you are used to it, to wait. I'm used to being light. I used to walk around campus, sometimes 8 times, praying. You cannot see me, you cannot hold me while I'm walking. Say, let's just be holding each other and be swinging into the kidney. I'm a lovely person, and I can love very well. Amen? But I'm saying, the way I will express mine might be different from what you have seen in movies. Sorry, I might not be able to buy you flower. If flower is what you are chasing, me, I can buy you a laptop. Amen. Flower is nice. If your husband is flower lonely and you are the laptop kind, you have to understand. You understand what I'm saying? You want laptop. And your husband says, take one strand of rose. This is what your mates are giving. No, why do you say, is this what your mate? Your marriage is not a competition. You're not trying to be better than this person or these people. No. You have lost the flavor the moment you start doing that. That's why I say, can we talk? Because if we talk, you will need to sit down with your spouse. Every human relationship must have a compromise. See, this is how your marriage can be beautiful. You must want the other person to be happier than you. What I say? You must want the other person to be happier than you. Sort it. If I want you to be happier than me and you want me to be happier than you, we'll be happy. But when one party is always the giving party and the other party is only the recipient, something will go wrong. If not now, later. Are you with me? The issue is not your partner. The issue is your appetite. You say, I didn't even know that I cannot speak English before I married him. The way he speaks is English. Doesn't have that. But you heard that English used to tell you, you be my wife, and he said yes. And who told you being able to speak the Queen's English is the measure of intelligence? It's not. It's not. Go to a co-market. I go and meet proper people that you tell them 500 times 500, they don't know. They don't know 500 times 500, but put naira at the back. They know it. Just 500 times 500 naira. They will tell you the amount. That's intelligence. That people that if they see money from there, they'll tell you that's 200,000 naira now. My name? That's 200,000 naira now. Okay. If they 20, 50, they know it. You are measuring intelligence with English. Stop comparing your spouse. Thank God for what you have. And look at how you can also be a better partner. Stop focusing on the other party. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be married to write that one down. These are notes you can use later. If you're single, find out God's plan. You need to find yourself before you find a spouse. So start closing.
You need to find yourself. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going to? You know, is where you are going to that determines how you pack your load. Right? Right? If you are going for a retreat, there are some kind of clothes you don't take now. If you are going for our camp meeting, you are not taking lace and high heel. It will be fair war. There is no dinner night in camp meeting. Amen. There is no bring your prom date in camp meeting. So that gown is useless. It will stain. By the time you fall under the power 3 times. Oh my, yeah. So, what will you pack? You pack your t-shirts, right? You pack your jeans. You pack shorts. And mosquito nets. Because you know you're going for camp meeting. But, if you're going for a dinner night, at work, end of the year, and you're packing mosquito nets, you see that something's wrong with your brain. That's cerebral malaria. What do you take? Take your suit, you take your bow tie, right? Your nice shirt, your shoes, shining, socks, cufflinks. You get what I'm saying? With your iPad. Your iPad is useless in retreat. Where you are going determines how you pack, how you dress. So, if I know that this is where I'm going in life, it determines who accompanies me. There are some of you that cannot marry an entrepreneur. You already know. An entrepreneur is sweet mouth. If I can't have anything, I've told my wife, don't worry, the money is coming. It's plenty. You're always building something. There's always one good news. An investor is always reaching out. We're always talking to I just finished the meeting with that VC. Okay, so what they are saying is that they want 40%. And we are deliberating. 40%, no. She might not be used to that life, but she's used to it now. She has meetings on my behalf. Sometimes. There are people that cannot do that. Where you are going determines who you go with. Are you getting what I'm saying? For the sake of your children, marry someone you like. For the sake of your children, marry someone. And if you have not, and there's nobody you cannot like. Let's start with that again. Because I know there are arranged marriages. And I'm not going to cancel them totally. I'm not going to say, oh, there are arranged marriages. That's how it used to be. My son wants to meet your daughter. I have your daughter in Wales. When she comes home next time, it's all fine. And you see that sometimes they get to like each other and all of that. It might take more time because I can't for any Wales. You know, you should brush your teeth in Wales. You know. Sweetheart. Your mouth. You get used to it. You get used to it. I don't get used to it. It takes time, but there's no one you can't like. You can plant the seed of love in your own and nurture it daily. Nurturing means that sometimes you look like the fool. And I say it every time I'm counseling new couples or intending couples. You look like the fool. You have to take it. One of you has to take the position of a fool every time. Sometimes at times you just say, okay, you are right. I say that a lot. And my wife says that to a lot. And I say, okay, can we talk about this? Simple. It's like you didn't get me. What I was saying is, I don't know what you heard, but what I was saying is, okay, so where do we meet? Well, I said this way, both of you cannot and must not be angry at the same time. It's forced to get angry. The moment you're angry, I must not be angry. It's a rule. So if I see you're pissed, then I say, I'll give you aura for aura. No, you can't do aura for aura. You're destroying your home. How then do you want to serve God? Well, you can't even speak in tongues at all. Because you're speaking to your wife is going to say, it is well. Only God knows those that are serving him with their hearts. You're speaking to your husband and say, Nikene. Oh, God, I change your city. Make it work. Shall I make it work? Even if you are single, say it now. I know you are single to stupor. So I'll make it work. Make it work. You can't be angry at the same time. So you're pissed. I must calm. I can be pissed later. Everybody can be pissed. You don't know. Say, why I like pastors? He's also jovial. He's humorous. Oh, God. Don't marry me. I can be pissed. I get pissed. You don't know. Oh, because I've not seen it. I'm human now. What do you think I am? AI? You don't want to see when I'm pissed. You don't want to see it. I'm telling you, you don't want to see it. Some of you, even some of you are leaders. I've not seen it. And you will not see it. It's the truth. Because I can't show you. I'm your pastor. But it's, my wife has seen it. Not once. Amen. I don't think I get angry. I'm not an angry bird though. Me, I enjoy my life. I'd rather settle things with, if I can settle it with anything money can buy, I'll settle it rather than fight you. Which is also a bad thing sometimes because why are we not settling? Why are you going to just go and get a solution straight? Can we do what I just said? You don't need to. It's in my head. And I'm not going to tell you. There's no perfect person. There's nobody that doesn't get pissed. That's on the school teacher I seen. And I was saying, and the book of John, ask the wife, no matter how holy a pastor is, even if you are Daddy Gio, I'm not saying Daddy Gio, ask the wife, ask the husband, that's pastor missing that he said, retokaine mahokere badosha, repatan, ask the husband, he said, eh, repa, Igwe, your water. No one is an angel. That's him. Amen. What I say? Huh? That's him. Recognize your own. This is one is my own. And we're going to make it work. By the Holy Ghost. He will give us wisdom. And understand it to work with one another. We'll grow in peace and harmony and love and unity. Our bond will get stronger and stronger. We are going to have Christian marriages, Christian homes, homes that may meet Christ and the church. And if you're looking to God to get married and a spouse, you have wisdom, you know, for times and seasons. And the power of God is working right where you are. Amen.